Morning. Daf Nun Hey. We're back in the Mishnah Nun Dalet Amud Beis, and we're going to start with the Zakenim in Rome, elders in Rome. We're going to do a lot of Agadata today. The Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara that we're about to do is Agadata, some very basic questions about Koach Avodah Zarah, the power of Avodah Zarah, why Hashem gave power to the Avodah Zarah. Why doesn't Hashem just destroy the Avodah Zarah? Just some of the most basic questions regarding how Hashem entertains this whole idea of Avodah Zarah. Good stuff today. We'll talk a little bit today about machlokas between the Rambam and the Balei HaTosfos, whether there's actually power to the Avodah Zarah. Right? If you've been around long enough, you know who already holds what. And then we move on to not a new chapter. It doesn't actually start with the chapter, but a new era in Masechta Avodah Zarah, which is back to Yayin Nesach. I know we talked about Yayin Nesach before, but really the end of the Masechta is coming. It's really not that far from now. And starting with the Mishnah, Nun Hey, which we'll get to this morning, we're going to start a new era in Avodah Zarah, and that's the era of Yayin Nesach. Okay, in the meantime, however, we start with a Mishnah. Mishnah Nun Dalet Amud Beis, 54b, right in the middle of the page. Shalu is the Kedem Baromi. Im Ein Ritzon of Avodah Zarah Chavam Lama Eino Mevat La. If there is no intent, if there's no desire for Avodah Zarah Chavim, so why aren't they just mevatel it? So Amar Lahem Ilu Al Adavah She'ein Tzarech La'olam Bo Hayu Ovdim Hayu Mevatel Lo Harei In Ovdin Lachma Lachama Levan Al Kochav Mazalos Yovad Olam Omi Bnei Hashotim. He says, wait a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't just simply get rid of the Avodah Zarah. You know, some of the things they worship are things like the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. So, if you want Avodah Zarah to be destroyed, if you want Hashem to destroy Avodah Zarah, thank you. So you're gonna, what are you gonna do? You're gonna destroy the world just because of Shotim, just because of fools and idiots? So Amar Lahem Im Ken Yova Davar She'ein Tzarech La'olam Bo V'Yenech Davar She'Tzarech La'olam Bo. So they go and they persist, and they say to the Zakenim, okay, you don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do like a little surgery, like, okay, so go in there. Those things that the world needs, okay, like the sun and the moon, the stars, so keep that. And the other Avodah Zarah, so that you get rid of. What's the big deal? And the response by the Zakenim is to be machzik yidei ovdeim shel elu. Right, to strengthen their hands. Rashi explains, what does that mean? So, af anu machzikin yedem shal elu ha'ovdim l'cham alavana im hainu roim shashar avodas kochavim charevos ma'atzim ve'elu kayamim hainu modim la'elu. Oh yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do that. Imagine. Okay, look, there's different types of idolatry out in the world. Sun, moon, stars, planets, and these little idols. And what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu then going to do? Destroy the idols? And then people are going to say to themselves, oh, but he didn't destroy the sun and the moon and the stars. So I get it. So the sun, moon, stars, they're powerful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't destroy them. Little idols, oh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take care of. That's ridiculous. In other words, but it'll encourage people to think that there's actually more to these sun, moon, stars. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves it all alone and just lets the world operate as it operates. And if people want to be foolish, people can go ahead and be foolish. I'm Tanu Rabbanan. We're going to come back to the Mishnah a little bit later this morning because I'm going to show you a little bit of the Rambam. But before I do that, though, let's go through a little bit of Gemara first. Tanu Rabbanan Sha'alu Philosophim as a Zakenim Barami. Conversation between philosophers and the elders. Philosophers, I imagine, are Romans, right? Rashi says Chachmei Umos, sages of the generation. And of course, the Zakenim are Zakenim, the home team. Shalom philosophim as the Zakenim Barami, mim im Elohechem ein ritzono b'avodas kochavim mim ne ma inu mevat la. Same question that we asked back in the Mishnah. How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take care of Avodah Zarah? Amar lahem ilu davashen olam tzarech lo hayu ovdim hare hu mevat la hare ein hein ovdim lecham olavan lo kochavim ulam azalos yovad olam mim ne ashotim. Again, same discussion that we had back in the Mishnah. What are you going to do? Sun, moon, stars, planets? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy that, even though people serve them. Ela olam kimenago noeg, Vishotim Shekilkalu Asidim Litena Sadin. Okay? Will they operate as it operates? And anyone who's foolish enough to follow it, Asidim Litena Sadin, they're gonna have to face the music. As cliche as I can get. Look, world operates. Doesn't matter what people do, world operates. There's laws of nature. Laws of nature do not change. The Gemara gives simple examples. Let's say you steal wheat and you go and you plant it. So you should tell me, okay, earth, don't let it grow because it was stolen. So din hu shelo tatzmiach ela olam kimenago noeg v'olach v'shosu shekukulu asidim l'tenas adin. Give you another example, says the Gemara. Davar achir. Harishabal eishes chaveiro. Person has an adulterous affair. Din hu shelo tesaber. She shouldn't become pregnant. Right? She shouldn't. Ela olam kimenago noeg v'olach v'shosu shekukulu asidim l'tenas adin. Okay? And again, the world operates along the laws of nature. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I do not change the laws of nature just because people do not behave accordingly. Look, it's not enough that people make my coin. That this is an expression Rashi explains. In other words, every time you make another human being, you're making a coin. And specifically, not just a coin, but a coin with the image of Hashem. Every one of us is made B'Tselem Elokim, we're made in the image of Hashem. So it's not enough that Rishayim Osin Selishly, they make my coin, meaning they make images in my people, in my image. But then they want me to stamp it as well and put the image of a human being on it, even though they're sinning in doing so. Okay? And so again, Olam Kim and Hago Noeg. The world operates along the laws of nature. Hashem says, I don't change that under any circumstances. Shafal philosophus echad is Rabbi Gamliel. Here we go back to Rabbi Gamliel. I don't know what it is. If you follow the Masechta, you'll see Rabbi Gamliel gets a tremendous amount of play in terms of his relationship with the non-Jews. We had him in the bathhouse a couple days ago in front of Aphrodite. So, I don't know, it's interesting. He gets a lot of play in terms of just how to address the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Shal philosophus echas Rabbi Gamliel kastav asar sechem ki Hashem alokecha ish ochlahu kel kana. Torah describes Hashem as being a fire, a consuming fire, and kel kana. We're going to translate it simply right now. He's wrathful, he's vengeful, he's angry, he's jealous, right? All those good attributes. So mipnei ma mizkane be'ovdeha ve'ein mizkane ba. And I wonder, said the philosopher to Rabbi Gamliel, you know, it seems like a Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger is misdirected. Seems that way. Because he's so angry at the people who worship the Avodah Zarah, shouldn't he be angry with the Avodah Zarah itself? Yeah. Amar lo, so Rabbi Gamliel's answer is, Let me try to put it this way to you. Okay, king had a son, and the son had a dog. Vehelo sham al shem aviv. Sorry, vehelo shem al shem aviv. And he named the dog, and he decided, what better name for a dog than the name of my father? Ukishu nishba omer, and when he swore, nishba b'chai kelavaba. So he swore to the dog. Ukishu sham amelech amihu kawes. Now the king hears this. Now, who's the king going to get angry with? King's going to get angry with a dog? Or king's going to get angry with his son? So, ala benu kawes, ala kelevu kawes, avi omer ala benu kawes. Good. Amar lo, keleva to koreosa. So, the philosopher says to Rabbi Gamliel, I get it, and boy do I get it, you're calling idolatry a dog. That's what you're doing. V'halo yeshba mamish. Now, don't you agree with me that there's something to this Avodah Zarah? You know that, right? Amalo umaris. So Rabbi Gamliel says back to the philosopher, what makes you say that? Amalo pamachas nafla deleka b'yireinu v'nisrafa kol ha'ir kula v'oso beis avos kochavim lo nisraf. I'll tell you what happened. Fire broke out in the town. All the buildings was burned down, and the base of Avodah Zarah, that stayed.
Everybody put water on it.
So once again, Rabbi Gimel says, let's go back to the Mashalim. Lamelech Basav Adam Shesarcha Alav Medina. Let's say you have a king who has many different lands and provinces that are under his rule, and there is one little area that's rebelling. Kishu Osa Mochama Im HaChaim Hu Osa O Im HaMesim Hu Osa. So this king now is going to go and he's going to squash the rebellion. And he's going to go and he's going to kill. Who's going to kill? People who are alive or people who are dead? Okay? He's going to kill people who are alive. So now, once again, Kadosh Baruch Hu is burning down the town. So he's not going to waste his time with the Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah is dead. Why burn something that's already dead? So Amalek, the philosopher, says, I also understand, Amalek Kelav HaTakore, Ota Mace Atakore Osa. Okay, so Avodah Zarah is now, first was a dog, now Avodah Zarah is a dead person. Im Kain, Yovdena Min HaOlam. So, Kadosh Baruch, what purpose does it serve? Why does he just simply get rid of it? Am Alo, Ilu Ladavishain Olam Sarach Lo, Hayovdin, Hari Mavatla, Hare Hain Ovdin, Lachamul, Lavanul, Kochamul, Mazalos, La Afikim Ulegeos. We go back to the point that was made in the Mishnah and in the first Braisa that we saw this morning. So some of the things they worship are sun, moon, stars, planets, rivers, right? Afikim, Afike Mayim, right? Water sources. Yovad Olama Min Me Shotim. So if you're asking to get rid of Avodah Zarah, you're asking to destroy the world. V'cheinu Omer. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Sifan, you are now on the top of Nun Hei Amud Aleph. Asof asof koma al b'nei adamanu Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy everything. And Rashi tells us the correct way to punctuate the pasuk is with a question mark. Should Hakadosh Baruch Hu destroy everything? Asof adam v'hema asof ofa shemayim v'dagei ayam v'hamach shelos es harishayim. Those things which cause stumbling blocks for the rishayim. V'chim im nesha harishayim nechshalim behem yovdam min ha'olam v'alola adam hein ovdim. And not only that, but they also worship other people as well. And so you want me to destroy people? V'yichrati yisa adam me'apenei adama. Fine. And so from the pasuk in Sefanya again, you can't destroy. Kadosh Baruch Hu can't simply destroy Avodah Zarah, because some of the things that are worshipped are things necessary for nature and people. Some people are being worshipped, and you can't destroy that as well. Okay. Shalom Agrippus, Sarlat Savas Remen Gamliel. More dialogue. And here we have Agrippus asking Rabbi Gamliel, and again Rabbi Gamliel gets the airplay. It says in your Torah, Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochlahu Kel Kana. Again, quoting the same pasuk about describing Kadosh Baruch Hu, Klumas Kane Elachacham Echachmam VeGibor BeGibor VeAshir BeAshir. And Agrippa says to Rabbi Gamliel, I don't understand. Jealousy is usually you're jealous about someone who's your peer, who's your colleague, who's your equal. And so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being described over here as Kel Kana, as a god of jealousy, so that means that there must be other kochos, other powers in the world, who are of his equal. Amalo, and again Rabbi Gamliel says, Amshulucha Mashal Mahadavad Dhamma. Let me try to explain this to you by way of Mashal. La Adam Shenosa Isha Ali Shtel. Look, a guy takes a second wife in. Okay, we don't do this anymore. This polygamy thing is, you know, it hasn't been around for some time, but the back in the, I guess you want to call them, good old days. So you take a second wife, you take a third wife, right? This is a polygamous religion. So you know, it never goes well. Now I'm not saying this because I know, but it never goes well. You look in Tanakh. I'm serious. You look in Tanakh and you look any time a guy takes on more than one wife. Sorry. You see, it always goes bad.
Sometimes you only just
says
one wife.
Right. Right, and Yaakov with Rachel and Leah. Right, Avram with Agar and Sarah. Right, let's keep going. Right. No, but you actually see the tension, the friction between the wives. Chan and Penina.
Yeah.
Right? It just you're right. I don't think I guess I'll get responses, but I don't think there is a multiple wife family structure that goes well in Tanakh.
And it kind of makes sense, because Because if you actually think that everything originally in the Maisa of Bereishis was the a prototype and the ideal,
right, right.
Hashem didn't give Adam Chava Aleph.
Right, that's correct. That's absolutely correct. So even though and sometimes, by the way, you need to take on a second wife. In other words, for example, the mitzvah of Yibum, right? You're married to a woman, and your brother's married, and your brother dies, and now you have a mitzvah to marry his wife. So his widow. So, okay, look, it is a polygamous religion, and at the same time, the Torah is kind of like winking at us, like, it's not such a good idea. So, la'adam shanaf isha lishta. But let's, again, work with this general construct where a guy takes in a second wife. So, chashuba mimena ein miskanaba. So, look, if the second wife is someone who's prominent, so the original wife, the first wife, is ein miskanaba. Now, don't ask me, is she really not jealous? I'm sure it's not like that. But she understands. She gets it. He took in a second wife because, look at her. She's prominent. She's wealthy. Whatever. I understand why she did it. Prusa mimena miskane ba. But if it's someone who is inferior, so the first wife is like, that's what you brought in? Right, I understand if she was somebody who brought money in or looks. If she brought some quality into this marriage, I kind of understand that. But this is what you're bringing in. Okay, fine. So and that's same thing over here. Meaning, in the case of Avodah Zarah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu's jealous because not because the Avodah Zarah is an equal or a peer, but in fact it's inferior. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu looks at the people and says to the people that's what you're taking over me. But that doesn't have anything to it. Amar le zunin le Rabbi Akiva. Libi v'libcha yada davoris kochav amleis b'mashasha. Now Rashi tells us, by the way, that zunin over here is Jewish. Up until this very point in time, the conversations that were had between Rabbi Gamliel and the philosophers, Rabbi Gamliel and Agrippus, they were non-Jews. Here, conversation between Jew and Jew. So Amar le zunin le Rabbi Akiva. Libi v'libcha yada davoris kochav amleis b'mashasha. Come on, you and I know. Right, just between the two of us. You and I know there's nothing to the Avodah Zarah. The hakechazinan gavre, the azle, but meanwhile, here's what we see. A person goes in, ki mitbere, mitbere here means broken, right? He has some sort of physical ailment. Va'asu ki mitsamde. And then when he leaves the base of Avodah Zarah, he goes out and he walks out. Right? And it's unbelievable. You hear the stories all the time. Right? They go in here and he comes out and he's healed. And I don't get it. Meaning, Zunin says to Rabbi Akiva, you and I know in our heart of hearts that there's nothing to it, but empirically, I see there's something to it. My taima, why is that? I'm alone. I'm shechlam ashlam ha'adav adama. La'adam neman shayya be'ir v'chol b'nei ira ha'yam mafkinim etzlo shelo be'edem. So Rabbi Akiva says to Zunin, it's like this. Look, there's a guy in town, again another mashal, there's a guy in town, everybody trusts him. His reputation is pristine. People give him things to watch. He safeguards it. He's a trusted custodian. There's one guy, however, who's just, it's his personality. And even though the guy has an unbelievable reputation, before he deposits anything by this guy, he says, wait a second, and he takes out the Edim, and he has witnesses now watching him give the object over to this guy, because whatever, it's his nature, he's just not a trusting individual. One time, the distruster gives an item, deposits an item to the custodian, and he does so without witnesses. Amarlo ishto. So now the wife of the custodian says, oh, good, opportunity. Let's deny. Meaning, the next time this guy comes, let's deny. So Amarlo, so he says to her, really? We're gonna...
Why should we do that?
That doesn't seem right. We have a reputation, and we've built a reputation. And just because this one guy, who never trusts us, and always deposits something by us with witnesses, and now he does something stupid and foolish, and that is, he doesn't have witnesses. So now we're going to take advantage of that, and lose all of our credibility. That does, no, we're not going to do that. Avkach. So Rabbi Akiva finishes his mashal. Yisurim b'shash mishagren osam ala adam. When you have yisurim, in this case, suffering and illness, when it's sent to a person, mashbin osan shalotecho ala b'yam ploni. Yisurim is a messenger of God. Suffering is not happenstance from the Gemara's perspective. It is directed with very clear directions. It goes on a certain day, and it leaves on a certain day, and at this time it's supposed to leave, and through this person it's supposed to leave. Right? Using this type of medicine. Right? Very often you go to a doctor, it didn't work out. You go to another doctor, oh, then it worked. So the Gemara says, yeah, correct. Because Yisurin has very clear instructions it needs to follow. Now let's say that by sheer coincidence, on the time that the suffering is supposed to leave the person, he happens to walk into a house of Avodah Zarah. Amr Yisurim dinu shalon etzei. So Yisurim says, look, I shouldn't go, because if I go now, I will give the erroneous appearance that the Avodah Zarah was the one that caused it. And they say no. That look, there's a prescribed time and a prescribed place where the suffering is supposed to leave. And just because this fool went into a house of Avodah Zarah, we're going to change? No, we're not going to change. Chalim, illnesses that are bad, and ne'emanim. It's a strange pasuk, describing illnesses as being ne'eman, trustworthy. What does that mean? Ra'im b'shlichusam, look, when they come, they're bad. Right? Illness is bad news. V'ne'emanim b'shvuasam, however, whatever shvua they made to Kadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of length of time it's going to stay, and when they're going to leave, ne'emanim b'shvuasam, they're going to keep their shvua. So now Rabbi says to Rav Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak says to Rav Yehuda, I don't understand. Because I see a certain house of Avodah Zarah in our town, when the world needs rain, so what happens now is that there is a vision in a dream. V'amalu shachtuli gavra. Vaisu Mitra. Well, it's very simple. You want rain. Okay, you see that guy over there? Shecht him, kill him, and rain's going to come. Vishachtu la gavra vaisu Mitra. And that's what they do. They shecht a guy, human sacrifice, and rain comes. Amar le hashta. So Rav Yehuda says in response, I have a shechivna lo amar lechu hamilsa. You know, if I would have died, this is like best Jewish guilt ever. If I would have died, you never would have gotten this answer. So it's a good thing he asked me this question while I'm still alive. Dama Rav, and he quotes his Rebbe, because this is Rebbe Yehuda being asked, and Rebbe Yehuda's Rebbe is Rav. Dama Rav, my dechsev, asher chalak Hashem lokecha, osam lecholah ha'amim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is mechalek. Mechalek over here sometimes means to divide. In this case, chalak means smooth. Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes makes it very slippery, so that people will slip, trip, and fall. Malamei sheichli kam b'dvarim kidei letordam min ha'olam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times allows it to be slippery so that people will slip, trip up, and be torid min ha'olam, and get lost from the world. V'hayna dam reish lakish ma'idei ksiv im leleitzim hu yalitz ula anavim yitein chen. Balatamei poschen lo. Balatahair misayino so. If a person wants to become tamei, so poschen lo, Kadosh Baruch Hu opens up the door for him and says, go ahead, and bala tahem misayino so. And if a person wants to become tahor, wants to become pure, so Kadosh Baruch Hu will assist him. And in other words, the point is that there's free choice. Kadosh Baruch Hu allows for free choice. And sometimes, yes, there's appearances that are given that Avodah Zarah helps and it works and it is something to it. And he gives that appearance then. That's just simply to engender, enable free choice. Okay. Period. That's the end of the Agadita. Just want to have a good general discussion. So Let me ask you this question. After all this agadita, is there something to avodah zarah, or no? Is it all smoke and mirrors?
It used to be.
Okay, so Tosfos, show you a Tosfos. Again, I'm going to credit my Rebbe, Rabbi Kornfeld, for pointing this Tosfos out to me. This is a Tosfos back on Chav Zainam and Beis. And he says, based on our Gemara that we just did right now, absolutely. There's something to the Avodah Zarah. Right? It works. There's some effectiveness to it. He goes in and it works. Now, I'll tell you the truth. From the Gemara that we just did, you know, I can...
The Rambam says it's all smoke.
I'll get to the Rambam this morning, Steve. We're gonna. No, it's good. We're gonna talk about it. But Tosfos says, they're gonna read Tosfos back on Chav Zainam and Beis, and Tosfos says, "Va'omer read the Ma'ik Kegon Shomalo Shos Amay Maos Amaitzim Mo'alim V'Lo Achirim Kegon Al Yedei Shade Shematu Ki LePa'amim Yesh Koach Biyad Shadim LaHatos Kidei LaTardim Kidei Yisrael Kamen BePerak Rabbi Yishmael." There is a koach. There is a power invested in the other forces, the shadim, the demons. There's a power invested in them, and the reason why is kedei l'tardam, because people will now say, "Ooh, interesting. Let's go follow the avodah zarah." And again, it's a way of enabling free choice and free will, and allows people to make the choice of, should I follow Hashem or should I follow avodah zarah? That is Tosfos back on Daf Chav Zayin, and there is something to it.
Huh? Shade is not enough.
No, it's a power. It's a power that exists within the...
We know that Hashem is
He's got angel, feet.
Yeah, he's got...
I heard a read somewhere that the Rabbanim were able to take that koach away from the Avodah Zarah.
Okay, so I don't know about that. Everyone here in this room probably already knows that the Rambam is not into this. Rambam, of course, was a super rationalist of the rationalists out there in the world. Rambam is number one. And everyone knows that Brahma probably doesn't buy into this. What you'll look at, what I'm looking at right now, is the Rambam Perusha Mishnayos in the back of the Gemara. And Perusha Mishnayos, you know, the Rambam wrote a general commentary to all Mishnayos. Rambam did not write it in Hebrew. In fact, the Rambam wrote it in Arabic. Rambam wanted to teach Torah to the masses. One of the things that makes the Rambam special and unique is that his desire, his interest in not keeping Torah to be the
just for the elite,
just for those who are totally engrossed and engaged in the study of Talmud, but he wanted to make it for the masses. He wrote Mishneh Torah, which is really simple Hebrew. You open up the Rambam, it's Mishneh Torah. Right. Anyone who has a basic Hebrew vocabulary should be able to read Mishneh Torah.
Did he write that in Arabic too?
No, he wrote that in Hebrew and intentionally wrote it in very simple Hebrew. He writes, in fact, in the beginning of Mishneh Torah, he writes in his introduction, here's what you need to do. Open up a Chumash, read Chumash, and then go to my work, go to Mishneh Torah. And once, if you do those two things, you'll get it. You'll have all of Torah in front of you. And it was very confident that Mishneh Torah was going to be the end-all, be-all of learning. Okay, and the another thing he did is he wrote a Perusha Mishnayos. In other words, so that people read Mishnah and are able to understand what's going on. So he wrote a very straightforward, simple commentary to the Mishnayos, and that's what he calls Perusha Mishnayos. And then, he writes other things as well, Mor Nevuchim and other things. But anyway, he writes Perusha Mishnayos. In Perusha Mishnayos, usually what he does is he just writes a very simple one or two sentences on each Mishnah, helping us understand what the Mishnah is talking about, giving us some background to the Mishnah. On this Mishnah right over here, the one we just finished, the one that started on Nundal Amud Beis, so the Rambam writes an essay. He writes and it's not a doctorate, but he just goes on and on. I'll start us off. We're not gonna delve into this because I want to finish the daf today. Mimasha atat sarich leida. Here's what you need to know. You know, the philosophers, they don't believe in this stuff at all. There's nothing to it. I know, says the Rambam, Sherov b'nei Adam kulam niftim b'zeh pitui gadol. I know the common masses are seduced by this Avodah Zarah. They believe in this stuff. People out there think that there's truth to this Avodah Zarah. The Ein Adavar Kain. Ad kitovim achasidim mibnei didatenu choshim shem dvarim amitim. And the Rambam says even some of our own people think that there's something to this Avodah Zarah. Ela shehem asur mitzad haTorah. You should know it's not true. There's nothing to the Avodah Zarah. Stones and carvings and there's nothing to it. It's just that the Torah says it's asur. That's all. Torah says you can't be involved in Avodah Zarah. People don't know, the common people don't know that they are dvarim betalim kozvim. It's all false. There is absolutely nothing to it. And then he goes on, and wow, does he go on, and he gives a whole explanation of, it's like, it's great. Take a look at it, please. It's like a whole historical discussion of, here's why they thought it wasn't, you know, and there were a couple of historical coincidences that happened, and he goes on. Anyway, it's just a good marmukum to know. The Rambam over here in Pirush Mishnayos says that there's absolutely zero, there's nothing to the Avodah Zarah. It's all false and shekel. So basically what we end up with is a big machlokus amongst the Rishonim, whether there's anything to the forces of Avodah Zarah and the forces of Shadim. Tosos, and it's not just Tosos, it's I would say most Rishonim say that there is something to it, and the Rambam stands on the other side of the spectrum and says that there's absolutely zero to it. Coincidences and freak occurrences, but there's nothing to it. And then go back over the Gemara, which we're not going to do now, and you'll see it's kind of, you know, you could point to different places in the Gemara where the Gemara says there is something to it and the Gemara says there's nothing to it. And, you know, it's an ambiguity. I believe it's an ambiguity within the Gemara. Okay. Good. Nope. Nothing to it.
It's like Rabbi
Chay. Nope. Nothing to it. Zero. Okay. Start the new Mishnah. And starting the new Mishnah, that's it. We leave the world of Avodah Zarah and we enter into the world of Yai Nesach. Yai Nesach, of course, is still Avodah Zarah. It's not like we're changing gears totally, but we are changing gears. Up until now, we've been discussing the halachas of Avodah Zarah, the Isser Hana of Avodah Zarah, when Avodah Zarah becomes an Avodah Zarah, when it becomes Mevatel. And now, in our mission over here, we're going to start our discussion of Yai Nesach. First and foremost, Yai Nesach. When does the wine become Yai Nesach? Okay, anyone been to a winery? So in Israel, we went up north. We went to a winery a bunch of years ago, and it's good. Right? I have a good feeling. Phil knows a lot about wine. Okay, and the processing of wine. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's not a complicated process. What happens is that they take grapes, they put it in a vat, they have a pressing board, they press down on the grapes, or back in the good old days, they just step on it. And they say, roll up your pants and then you just go to work and you step on the grapes and the out comes the juice, and the juice then rolls, it goes through a channel, so some sort of canal, and it rolls into the hole in the ground. Okay, what the Gemara and the Mishnah is going to be referring to simply as a bore, it's a pit, and it sits there and it left to ferment there in the pit. And then after a fermentation, they take it, they drink it, and okay, wine. Lochin gas b'uta mina ove kochavim afa pishu notol biyado v'nosein l'tapuach v'eino ose yayin esech ad sheyered labor. So the Mishnah says like this: during the processing part of the wine making, it's not yayin esech yet. It's only going to be, it's not yayin. It's not wine yet.
Just grape.
Meaning the only thing that's subject to being yayin esech is when it's wine. So during the processing, it's not yet wine, therefore it's not yet yayin esech. Rashi, gat be'uta sheba'ata v'darcha v'kochavim. Right? So here we go. They lift up their pants and they start pressing down on the grapes with their feet. So says the Mishnah, Lochim Gad Be'utam Inol Ve'Kochavim, you could take Alpha Pishunot Be'yadav Nasel Tapuach, and they take the grapes and they put it back on the tapuch. Tapuch literally means an apple over here. It's that big mound, a pile of grapes that are on the, that are in the vat. When does it become yainesech? Only after it runs down that little canal and it goes into the hole in the ground, then it's yainesech. Then it's yain, and if it's processed and if it's made by a non-Jew, it's yainesech. Yara labor masha babor asr v'ashar mutter. Only after it goes into the pit, then it's asr. Anything before that, meaning wine in the vat, wine running down the canal, that's all fine. That's all not yayin nesach. Okay. Dorchim im ha'ove kochavim begat. Let's say a non-Jew comes over to you and says, look, I got a lot of work today. I got a lot of stamping to do. I could use a little bit of your help. So would you come and help me stamp the grapes? I'll pay you. And the Mishnah says that's fine. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Dorchin im avo kecham megat, v'lo amrinan mistaker b'yisuri hana'u, da'afil b'shtia savra haitana d'shari, calls mashallah yara labor. Look, it's not in the hole in the ground yet. It's not in the bor, so it's not yayin esach. So it will become yayin esach, but right now it's not. So you want to go and help him stamp out the grapes? That's fine. And you're not profiting from yayin esach because it's not yet yayin esach. Umishim garin tuma leka. There's another issue, says Rashi. What about the fact that it will become tameh? Not an issue. Shemishar shidach ma'am ovei kochavim ma'at nitmeu. It's already tameh. Once the guy starts stepping on it with his feet, it already is tameh. Umishim isayide over avera leka shovei kochavim lo nitztavu akach. Don't worry about aiding and abetting over avera because ovei kochavim is eno nitztave akach, is not commanded in doing so. What Rashi means by that exactly is unclear. Okay, but in the meantime, we'll come back. We won't come back to that later this morning, but I'll touch on that at a later point in time. Okay, meanwhile, back to the Mishnah. Dorchim im avo kochav megat, top of the next Amud, aval lo botrim imo. But bitsira, that you're not allowed to do. Bitsira is the harvesting. Right, Rashi, why not? Lefisha nosnim begas tamea vigorim tumahu, she nisina sam legas l'shem drichahu, udricha sam tit amam. Because what now you're going to be doing is you're going to create tumah. That you can't do. If it's already tummy, meaning that the guy is already stamping his feet on it, and now you want to assist, that's fine. But to cause tumah, that you can't do. Rashi goes on to write, v'kodim dricha vada lo mekabli tumah, distama lo hukshiru. Look, the grapes, when you take them off the tree, are not yet ready to become tame. V'had dekaimel on avot, del gas hukshir, hain hecha de hukshir vada, v'kesev ha'asol agram tumah, l'chulun shebarit yisrael. Here the issue is like this, is that if you're the one who puts it into the vat, juicing the grapes, so now you're going to be causing it to become tameh. Our Mishnah is of the opinion you can't cause tumah in Eretz Yisrael. We'll come back. I'll explain that a little bit better later on. Yisrael, top line of the page. Yisrael shuol said b'tumah lo dorchim v'lo botzim imo aval molichin imo chavios legas mevin imo min hagas. If a Jew is pressing on the grapes and he is causing all different types of tumah, you can't help him out. Why? Because you are aiding and abetting in causing tumah, and you cannot do that. It's mesayer ide over avera. Nachtum shuose betumah lo lashim v'lo orchin imo. Let's say you have a baker, and he doesn't care about tumah tahara, and when he makes bread, he does it betumah. You can't help him out, says the Mishnah, because you're causing tumah. You're helping another Jew create tumah. But to take the bread to the palter, that's okay. Rashi says palter over here is a baker. Rashi is of the opinion that baking is not part of the processing, and so therefore that's not misayeya de ove avera. Tosus disagrees. Okay, but let's just deal with the simplicity of the Mishnah. I'm Rav Huna. Yankev sheitzcholim mashecho se yainasach. Rav Huna says something which seems to run contrary to what our Mishnah said. Our Mishnah says, wine in the vat, wine running down the canal, not wine. It's processing. It's in the middle of processing. It's not wine. Only when it goes into the pit, in the ground, then and only then it becomes wine, subject to Yayin Nesach. That's what our Mishnah tells us. And meanwhile, Rav Huna comes along, Rav Huna's an Amora, and he says no. He says even before that, once it starts flowing, it's Yayin Nesach. Once it starts flowing down the canal. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna, where did you get that from? In fact, not only where did you get that from, but that's not our Mishnah. Tanan, let's go over what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says, you could take wine while it's processing. No, our Mishnah is talking about where he plugged up the canal, and so therefore it's not going down into the pit. Then, that's okay. But once you unplug it, and it's going to go into the pit in the ground, so it's already yayin. Tashma ve'ino osa yayin esach ha'chir labor. It's not yayin esach until it goes into the pit. Rav Huna, you hear that? It's not yayin esach until it goes into the pit. Hachanami, so again, Rav Huna will say, begas pekuka malaya. Yeah, that Mishnah again is talking about where I stuffed up the canal, and then and that's why it's okay. Tashma yarad labor. So again, the Gemara says to Rav Huna, it just, your position doesn't fit into the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says that goes into the pit, Masha Babur, Asr, Vashar, Mutter. That which goes into the pit is Asr, anything before that is Mutter. And clearly, the Mishnah is talking about where it's running into the pit. And only when it gets into the pit, then and only then is it Asr. So Amar Rav Huna Lokasha. So Rav Huna says, okay, look, you got me. I don't agree with the Mishnah. Kan b'mishnah rishon, kan b'mishnah achrona. So, I'm also going to tell you that not only do I not agree with the Mishnah, other Tanaim do not agree with the Mishnah. Here we call it Mishnah rishon versus Mishnah achrona. You'll see we use this terminology every now and then. It means like the first thinking and then the latter thinking. Right? In other words, there was a change of thought at one point in time. Did Tanya, and here the Tosefta spells it out. We'll finish off this morning reading the Tosefta. Badad. At first he said Badad. Badad, of course, is Rashi Tevos. It's a mnemonic. Ein botan ima ove kochavim begash. Also legrom tumal achulon shebaret Yisrael. You're not allowed to harvest because you are creating tuma in Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to do that. Ein dorchen im Yisrael shows in perasav betuma shasol esayide over avera. You cannot help press on the grapes with another Jew if he is causing tuma. Because now you're being misayeya de over avera, you're aiding and abetting. And three, avaldorchim avakocham v'gas v'lo chayshinan l'derav huna. And you can press on the grapes in the vat, and don't worry about Rav Huna. Now, of course, the Tosefta is not saying don't worry about Rav Huna. The Tosefta is a Tosefta. It's not going to mention Rav Huna. But the Gemara is simply adding, and we don't worry about Rav Huna. The Chazulamar, the Bezdin, I'm sorry. The Chazulamar, Dabad. But now, there is a new thinking with a new mnemonic. One, Ein Dorchin Emal V'Kochavim Begat Mishum De Rav Huna. You can't press with an Ovid of Odezara in the pit because of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that even wine in the pit is Aser Behana'ah. I'm sorry, not the pit.
In the vat.
Even the pressing is that wine is already Asr Bahana. And since it's Asr Bahana, so when the guy says to you, would you mind working with me today? You can't. Because you can't get benefit from that wine, even though it's in the vat, it hasn't gone down into the pit yet. Two in boats in the Misosh Osaperasab Bituma, Bikoshakin Shane Dorchin. You can't work with a Jew who is not worried about tuma. And finally, three, avabotim avikochavim begash shemot aligram tuma lechulin shebarat Yisrael. And the final understanding of this brisa is that you are allowed to cause tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore, you're allowed to be boter. You're allowed to harvest together with a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, even though you're going to be causing tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael.